Wedding crashers, beware. And I was telling you, God is monergistic. In other words, God does the initiation of all things. If you come into God, God's going to draw you to Him. He's going to call you. He calls those to be saved. If we're looking at this wedding, this getting together, the regeneration of God's people, when I was telling you about God as monergistic, God births us into His family. He plants that seed of word of faith and gives us life. We're born again, and that way we're able to go on in Christ Jesus. In the fact that God justifies us, He justifies us in Jesus Christ. Justification is an act of putting us in proper or right standing with God. Even if from now on out, if you didn't ever sin or whatever, you still would have to pay for past sin. You would have to atone for past sins or whatever. But see, the sacrifice of the cross, Jesus Christ paid that price, and He put us in proper standing with God. Amen. So we're justified. So from that point of justification, we have to go on to do good works. That's where the synergism go on. We start to work with God. We're working with God. We're reading this morning our sermon, The Wedding Crashers Beware. Just like Satan was already in that garden, they said like God's people, God had called Israel as a people that were in the world. Well, there are people that's in the church. There are people that are in the kingdom, if you want to take it literally, as Jesus said, the kingdom of God is among you, enjoying the things of earth and enjoying the things of God, but they're not authorized to. Let me use that word. They're not authorized to. They are not. They may be ordained to a certain condemnation, which we found in the book of Jude. It says certain men crept in unaware, ordained unto this condemnation, when He told them, contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. They were contending for something, but there were people that were there contending that was spots in their love feast. They were professors of people in the church that shouldn't be in the church. And we see that in Revelation. There are a lot of people, and we see that in present day life. There are a lot of people in the church that shouldn't be in the church. They may have been there for a number of years, 10, 20, 30 years, 40 years or whatever. Yes. But they're professors. They're not clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The invitation, He says, to come, the Spirit says, come. When He makes a general invitation, God calls us unto Himself. He calls us. But that's a general calling of God. There be a many a call, but only a few chosen, which would be the elect, those God had purposed and those God guided and ruling in their lives. They, in other words, the synergistic movement had begun within them. They submitting themselves to God, to His Word, and to His Spirit working in their lives to sanctify them. We read this morning, we're in the message this morning, where Jesus puts forth a parable unto the people. And this parable is talking and liking a wedding feast to the kingdom of God. And it's Matthew, the 22nd chapter. It says, and Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son. He sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise, and the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king came in, but when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then said he to his servant, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. So these servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and all the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. He said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servant, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him in the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but a few are chosen. This morning we want to focus on this wedding crasher. This guy who's at the wedding feast, but he's not an authorized guest of the wedding feast. He may have been one of the ones called. He's like a lot of us today. They hear God's word. They hear God's word being preached and taught. But they're self-centered. They're all about themselves. And no matter what God says, they're stronger than God. They're smarter than God. And they're self-centered. In other words, they can go to church, but it has to be on their terms. In other words, God has to deal with them on their terms. They're not thinking about what God's word says. He says they refuse to come at first. So there's a many out in the world, and no, God is calling the church. The church is a call out people. God calls us to church. But how many people do you meet? And I was talking about someone that visits us frequently that has come in many a different time. And they're out. They was asking me about the Hebrew calendar and about some different things. And they're out there talking religion and stuff with people. And they're very serious about God. But God has to be on their terms. In other words, God hadn't opened up their understanding. They're not children of God. In other words, they know Jesus died for them. They know the church is right. They know God's word is right. But God hasn't made it so that it's comfortable for them, so I'm not going to come into church, God. They'll say, well, Jesus died for us. Easter, Christmas, they respect communion, they respect all of the things of God. But everybody in the church won't be saved. But I can live this way and be saved. I can do this my way. In other words, they don't have to come a heed and come into the church as God said. There are those. Those are the ones that are given to the pleasures of this life. So the church is a preparatory place. It's a place where we prepare for the kingdom of God. He says it was the liking, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a king, a certain king, which made a marriage for his son. So the wedding feast, we know that the wedding and the bride of the son, the marriage bride of the Son would be the church marrying to Jesus Christ. That's what we look forward to, being married to Jesus Christ. So they feel that they don't have to come to church to get ready for to meet God, for to meet Jesus Christ. They don't feel they have to come to church. They can do it their way and stay out of the church. But if some feel that they could come inside the church and get ready for Jesus Christ, go to heaven and enjoy the pleasures of the kingdom of God without taking heed to God's word. In other words, they had their own filthy clothes on. They hadn't taken off the filthy rags of the garments they have on. They are clothed in their own righteousness. They hear the word of God, but they're not going to do it. They understand, a lot of them, they don't have a fear of God. And see, the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge and understanding. Without the fear of God and reverence of God, they may understand God's word to a point, but not to a point of saving knowledge or saving a salvation. So the first thing is preparation. I tell you, Jesus spoke to them in parables, and he says the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a great wedding feast for his son. Verse 4, then he sent out some other servants, saying, tell those who have been invited, look, I prepared my dinner, my oxen and fattened calves are butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. Verse 8, then he said to his servants, the wedding feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. So go to the main highways that lead out of the city and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find. Just all kinds of stragglers. Anybody else, the Gentiles, anybody else, and just invite them all to the wedding. Those servants went out into the streets and gathered together all the people that they could find, both bad and good. Notice it says both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests, and the banquet table was full. So the king didn't want to have an empty banquet table. You know, the grace of God reigns on the just and the unjust. Yes. God is good to all, and many of people testify that God is good, and they give God reverence, and they give God all his accolades, but you know their heart is far from God. Their heart is on them in themselves, and God is good as long as God is abiding by their rules, as long as God don't ask them to do something that they don't want to do, as long as God stay in his place. See, that's the way they feel. My life is for me. It's not for God. And God, you have to just stay over in this cone over here. You're not sovereign. That's the way they're looking at this thing. But God says those people were not worthy to come. Notice that they mistreated his servants. In other words, they didn't hear what the messengers, in other words, the prophets and the preachers, had told these people to do. The prophets and the preachers, the ones going out. And that's what the prophets and the preachers do. That's what they do, even if the president was to come to a place or whatever, or the mayor, anybody come to a place, you have a party that goes out in advance and prepares or make a way for that person. That's what John the Baptist was. He made a way. He came out. He was a trailblazer for the Son of God. He opened up the way for Jesus Christ. He went before. That's what we should be doing. We should be helping prepare the world for the coming of Jesus Christ. We should be telling everybody that's part of our job, our work. And the preachers and prophets preaching and teaching this, we should be learning how to conduct ourselves in the kingdom of God. If God has made this invitation, how do I conduct myself in heaven? How would I act in heaven? It wouldn't be the same way that I do down here. So I would have to pull off the old man unless I think I can go to heaven the way I am. And I know how to get along because I'm a good person. I'm not as bad as the other people. The other people is what bad. I don't have anything to do to get prepared. I'm ready to go to heaven. They feel that they're ready. They don't have to go to church. They don't have to listen to God's word. They don't have to be led by spirit because I'm all right. I hadn't killed anybody. I don't commit adultery. I don't do these things. In my own eyes, I'm pretty good. I'm clothed with my own righteousness. But God said those are filthy rags. You need to learn the proper etiquette. In other words, the proper eating techniques. We'll look at Proverbs and where it says if you're a man given the appetite and you go before the king eat, you need to put a knife to your throat. People don't know about eating. They don't know about being around other people. All these things they hadn't learned. And that's why I say it's a lot of people that are in the world, going through the world, but they are like barbarians. They are like Scythians. They are like some of the crudest. And we notice that in this nation that it's going along. It's limping along. But these aren't people that's preparing for the kingdom of God. These aren't true Christians. These aren't people preparing for God, because you can notice, you observe that they're not following the word of God. The Spirit's not working in them. In other words, they have a zeal for God, but they're lacking the knowledge of God. They have a form of godliness, but they lack the power there because the Spirit's not in their work. See, God has to clothe us with his righteousness. And that's what his preachers do. The fivefold ministry, that teaching ministry of Jesus Christ, is for the edification of the church. It's for the washing, in other words, to remove every spot and blemish so that we as a bride be presented to Christ as a chaste virgin. Yes. Not intermingled with the world or the things of the world, and not the ways of the world, not loving the world and the things of the world. Yes. We have to be and develop right attitudes. All this is preparatory. the attitude has to be changed. And I've taught on attitudes and characteristics. And it's people you wouldn't want to be around them nowhere but in church. And that's the only place that their attitude is stifled, because they don't have on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. If they wasn't in church, and if you cross them in church the wrong way, they'll tell you right there. These people will shoot you. They'll kill you. They'll talk about you. They'll gossip about you. Outside of the church, they're some of the most, they would tear you apart, because they don't have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. They hadn't been truly converted. They hadn't been humble. There is no change in them. You see, that's what I'm saying. If you can't see this in this nation, in these people, that this is not a nation that's headed to the kingdom of God. This is not a people that's getting ready for Christ. This is a people that's following another Jesus.
Yes.
They're in the feast. They're enjoying the things of the kingdom, but they don't belong. We can't see that unless we are in Christ. You're not going to be able to see that. The attitude. See, the only way you can detect this is that it's Christ in you. The Spirit of God's in you. Because what's happening is the wheat and the tares is growing up together. And those can't be separated, especially during this time or whatever. It takes a spiritual strength to do this. That's why the disciples was able to cast out devils and things out of some of the people. But when it came to casting out the demoniac, he says this kind only go about by prayer and fasting. In other words, people that's just going to church and never pick up the Bible during the week, they're not going to be able to do this. People that's not praying during the week, people that are not fasting, people that are not living with God in every thought, people that are not making consistent prayer and supplication, that are not including Jesus Christ in everything, they're not going to be able to do this. That's why you'll see the death of many of them along the way, because they're not realizing that the wrath of God is in effect being issued out now. Not the whole wrath of God, but a judicial wrath of God. That's why death is reigning, because man hadn't came to the point where that enemy has been put to death yet. But God's people are fighting on. And as the sister said before we started, look like things keep happening, but you just have to keep pressing your way. You know, I'll be thinking, no, I'm barely going to make it to heaven. And I see why the scripture says the righteous shall scarcely make it. Because, you know, you have those times when you feel woefully inadequate. The only way I could do that this morning, I got up and I prayed and I was coming to church and I was so down or whatever. But the only way I could come here and do that is God's Spirit with me. See, a lot of people think they're adequate to go to the King's Ball. They're not thinking about what they're going to put on. They're not thinking about how they're going to act when they get there. They're not thinking about how many people seeing them and they out of place. You've seen people do something or dress up or go somewhere, but they totally out of place, don't look like they belong there. That calls for discernment, being able to be strong in the Lord. We need to learn what not to do. What not to do. We have to get comfortable. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. By sacrificing. And that's why, you know, I'm not picking on anybody or whatever. When Elder Washington was preaching and teaching or whatever, we have to learn, and please don't take these things the wrong way, that this is not, that's why I don't keep things up around me or whatever. This is where the attention should be at, is on God when we're here. You're not allowed to carry water throughout the church or whatever. And that's why we had a preacher at Evergreen Church on 39th Street. You remember I told you all the stuff he had in the pulpit or whatever? But see, this is not for your comfort. Church not supposed to be casual Friday. And, you know, and they get in churches where you just come as you are. Wear what you want. No, you're supposed to put on your Sunday go to meeting clothes when you go to church. When you come in to face the living and true God, you're supposed to be ready to meet God. you in his presence and you conduct yourself differently. That's why I was telling y'all about being seated this morning. The priest wasn't allowed to sit when he went into the holy places or whatever. He had to continually keep moving. If you hear that bell stop moving or whatever, you're supposed to tug on that rope and see was he be ready to be drug out of there, because God would strike him dead in there.
Yes.
See, we have to learn how to come before God. The church isn't our play place. God's presence is, and if you start to learn to carry that presence everywhere you go, this guy didn't. He wasn't afraid to come into the church. He wasn't afraid to come into the wedding supper without a garment provided by Christ. See, Christ provides the garment. You remember God came in and he pulled Adam and Eve clothes off. Those are not right. He provided the clothing for them. They couldn't provide. Those fig leaves was wholly inadequate for them. Our own covering is wholly inadequate for us. So he went into this wedding feast and he wasn't worried about the king detecting him, because he had been turned over to a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind, in other words, God can turn you over to where you can't see the mistakes you are making, the wrong that you are doing, and you think it's right. That's because you love darkness rather than light, that you can hold on to your sins and still inherit the kingdom of God. And that's what Paul says, those that do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They shall not inherit it. But they're saying, God, we can do these things and still you need to let us in your kingdom. That we could inherit the kingdom of God. And God's word say, you shall not. See, that's where him and the devil come into conflict. It's because the devil says, had God said this? See, Adam and Eve thought they could do contrary to God and listen at a false preacher and do something God has said not to do. If God says not, you better learn all of what God says not to do. So, what I would be wondering is, how do I act in front of the king? What can I do to be able to stay at this wedding feast? Like Peter, they say, Lord, we want to be a tent for you and Moses. He wanted us to stay in the presence of God. How many of us want to stay in the presence of God? We want to stay living good. We want to stay in God's good graces. Why did you choose me? Of all these people you didn't choose, why did you choose me? And to help me to do what it is to please you. So in that preparatory thing, Lord, help me to learn to fast. Help me to learn to do your word. Help me to pull off the old man, what I was, and all that I am. And put on the new man, that which is pleasing to you, that in which I can enjoy eternal life with you. All that's preparation. And the church is continuing to prepare. That's why we have prayer service, Bible study. That's why we do all we do. And we need to do more. Don't I consistently tell you, I don't feel we're doing enough. You don't see, Jesus asked the Pharisees when he was in the house at meet with him, and he actually said, Simon, there was one person that owed a little, one owed a lot, but the king, he says, now who would feel better? Who would the king think he owed much to? The one he had forgiven a little or the one who had forgiven a lot? He said, well, the one that he has forgiven a lot, that's who. And I thank God who has forgiven me a lot, and I feel deeply indebted to God. I don't know about y'all. I don't know if y'all see y'all lives as torn apart and that you're utterly worthless and was against God. And now I need to fight my way back into God's good graces. That I need to continually rise up and work each day to live and try to please God. I walk contrary to him so long that I need to know how to please God. I'm a man that wants to please God. And I know I have my foibles. I know I have my weaknesses and everything. But I want to please God. Whatever it takes. Denying myself. Denying everything around me and everybody else. And taking up my cross and following after him. The second point is not to be with the pleasure seekers. There are pleasure seekers in the world. And pleasure seekers everywhere you go. And they'll pull you right down. Pull you right down with them. you have to stay apart from him. Verses 3, 5 through 6. And he sent his servants to call those who had previously been invited to the wedding feast, but they refused to come. But they paid no attention. They disregarded the invitation, treating it with contempt, and went away, one to his farm, another about his business. The rest of the invited guests seized his servants and mistreated them, insulting and humiliated them, and they killed some of them. And you know, people talk about you when you're in holiness. People talk about you when you're serving the Lord. People are not going to listen. And even in this nation, as I see it, they're talking about other nations. I see people being humiliated and disgraced and losing everything for truly serving the Lord. And I see a false religion taking over. I see it aligned with the political beast of the world. We see these things in our very eyes, but a lot of us don't. We can't see these things because we're part of that system. We're not clawing our way out of the system. God hadn't opened our eyes yet. They're too busy with their little affairs. They're too busy to hear God calling. Are we too busy going through life, enjoying life and the pleasures of life? Listen, it's brought out a little bit differently in the parable when he spoke this in Luke. He says what some of these people are doing. Of Luke 14, chapter 18 through the 20th verse, it says, but they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, well, I've purchased a piece of land and have to go out and see it. And please consider and let me be excused. Well, why would he buy the land ahead of time, then need to go see it? If he's already bought the land, look like he could wait a day or two for him to go see it. If he bought it ahead, who buys land without seeing? So sometimes, you know, people don't call our hand when we're lying or when we get confused or whatever, not telling the truth. That was a nice way of saying, look, the football game on tonight and I can't come. I'm watching TV this weekend and I can't come. I got so many things, pleasure seekers. They didn't refuse his invitation. Another said, I have purchased 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. Please consider I be excused. Well, being animals and everything, suppose they were weak animals in Poland, you'd have bought them. Now you could see, will they plow? In other words, you didn't bought the mules before you see how they plow. What? He will let you return them or something? Why would you buy them ahead of time? I'm sure that their condition is not going to deteriorate overnight. If they're plowing today, they'll be able to plow tomorrow. So you make an excuse. In other words, you want to go buy a car. You got these things. You got other personal things that's more important. And it says the kingdom of heaven. In other words, more important than his son's wedding. In other words, you're not seeking to do what you want to do to please the king. And you can't deny yourself of these things. They're all awful things. You should have working equipment. You do need land. You do need all these things. You do need marriage. So one says, another said, I've recently married a wife, and for that reason, I'm not able to come. Well, the Bible tells us sometime that you have to abstain from bodily things or congenital affairs and give time for fasting and prayer. So life is not all about you and your wife getting together. It's not all about pleasure. God has to have the preeminence in our lives. Sometimes we have to deny ourselves, deny those things. These were pleasure seekers. The king wasn't about to change the day of this wedding when he invited all those other people to come. And they wouldn't come. They all made excuses. And you know, it was like today. There are a lot of people that are not listening at God. Now, have in your notes some Bible scriptures there where God keeps calling unto us and we keep putting it off. And putting it off, and it's going to be a day that you're not going to be able to put it off when there are going to be 6 guys or 6 people that's going to pack you somewhere in a little box and stick you in a little hole. And it's going to be too late to go and see what the king wants. Your health could deteriorate to a point, or you could get to a point in style that It makes no difference whether you come to the church or not. The only reason you would come there then is that you think that you can ease into heaven. There's nothing you could do at the church at that time. Nothing you could be able to do for the church at that time. You're just scared because you're dying and you know that it's hell since you believed in God. And you don't want to go to hell, so you believe that if you can just make it in by the skin of your teeth without doing anything, say, oh, I accept Jesus Christ, and now I'm saved. You're doing it your way. When God called you and you refuse to hear, he's not going to hear you when you're calling him. Now, in your mind, you might think you hear. It got some jackleg preachers that say you saved and bring you into the church and tell you all right, but don't believe in what man says. Man will fool you. You better watch man and make sure he's lining up with the word of God. Sometimes we do need to take time and smell the roses. But sometimes we need to let God's word, observe God's word in nature, in life. And God speaks to us through creation. God speaks to us through all things. You see, if Moses, I don't know how many times he had passed that burning bush, but he had to slow down. Sometimes we have to slow down in life. Sometimes we have to have time for ourselves. Sometimes we need to rest and come apart. I was telling you, I was too busy this week, and I didn't overwork myself, overexerted myself. Jesus told his disciples to come apart a while before you come apart. So none of those things that they said was inherently evil. But, you know, I took my time getting here this morning. I knew we was going to be running a little bit late, and I said, well, I was going to call you or whatever, because Sister Harris has been wrestling with that chair all week. She's still kind of looking at it now. The lights and things are not going on. I called her earlier this morning, and she didn't answer, but I was worried about it, and I kept looking at my phone and see what time it was going to rain or whatever because it keeps getting wet. But she called me late on. I was headed here. She said, Pastor, I'm coming. Don't be late, but I'm coming. No way we could start without it in. You know, I'm just going to lollygag around because I'm going to wait for her to get here because she's struggling to get here. She's fighting against all odds, the chair going down or anything else because she needs to hear what God has to say. Hopefully God gives me something to say that she could use that was worth the effort of her coming this morning, against all odds. Yes. Against all odds, and they told her that's probably be a month before they can get a chair fixed properly. But against all odds, during that time, my prayers will be with her because I know she will struggle during that time to hear what God's word says. She'll try to come out Monday or whatever. She'll try to come out, or she's not going to miss Bible study then. That's respect for God and his word because God says, forsake not the assembling together of yourselves. How many of the people out there think they hadn't went to church any time in their lives, but they say they believe God, but God's words, that's disrespect for God right there. That's one sign of disrespect for God. People that don't go to church, and that's why I said this guy was calling me, and as I talked to him or whatever, I had a little time because a servant of the Lord should be patient and apt to teach because who knows when God will turn a person around the right way. Yes. But he got himself in a bind, and that's a losing cause. That's a dead horse he's beating there. It's not going to go anywhere. So if I have 5 minutes or something to tell or talk to him or whatever, I will. But that's a losing cause because you trying to be a hero out there in the world, and God didn't call you to be a hero out there in the world. God has called you to his church. It's not to fight the battle. Yeah, you can fight the battles out there in between church, but you're not out there fighting, you're trying to establish your own righteousness. So people that don't go to church and think, I don't really have much time for them. I really don't like talking about God to them. That, you know, that know of God and confess God and confess Jesus Christ, and they're not in the church or whatever, the first thing I want to know, what church you go to. The guy, I was at CVS the other day, and we were talking or whatever, he's talking about going to California and different things, and I asked him, I said, well, what church you go to? He said, I don't talk religion. I ain't going to tell you the church, and we don't talk religion and politics or whatever. Okay, well, I eased on away from it. because he gets in an argument with everybody coming in, and you know, I'm still trying sometimes try for him because I really feel sorry for him because he's simply pathetic. I was right on the other aisle or whatever, some other guy come in and they talking some foolishness and he's not about to go to California anywhere else. He's always but anyhow, he's simply pathetic because I say, you know, I wouldn't have a religion that I couldn't talk. I wouldn't have a God or serve a God that I couldn't talk about, that I couldn't tell people about. I wouldn't want to be in such a bind I couldn't say what God I serve. I wouldn't be around in a church that I couldn't say, this is the church I go to. These are the ones I'm representing. This is what it's about. It was disrespect of his son. You mean to tell me you didn't come to the wedding? You didn't come to that? And you know, I stayed friendly with things of my own and these and that, but you know, my family has been some of the most disrespectful people to me in my life. So many things I've had and had going on and hadn't seen many of them then. But I still love them or whatever. I hold that against them or whatever. But it's disrespectful. We have to have a certain respect for certain people. A certain respect. You didn't come to the wedding? My son got married and you didn't come? That was disrespectful. God sent, and he sent and destroyed all of those people who didn't come. He says, take it and destroy all those servants who didn't come. That's what he did. That's when he invited everybody else. That's why Jesus said, who is my mother, father, sister, or brother? See, because your relatives in the physical are trying to get close to you because they are material. They are thinking physical. But you let the rubber meet the road and you'll see where that division is. But Christ says, those that are my mother, father, sister, or brother are those that do the will of the Father. Those that do the will of God. See, because that's permanent. That's eternal. That don't, you can't separate that. That can't be lost. Those that are in Christ can't be lost. God, he says, that none that the Father given me shall be lost. He'll never forsake us and he'll never leave us. But your relatives will. You even turn on your own self. Husband and wife turn on one another. I've seen husband blame the wife and wife blame the husband and things. That's how that goes. That's how that is. He says, kill them all. All those that heard that call and didn't take heed to that call. So it's a many of them. And as you go through life, right now, there are people that are dying, there are people that are going on in the world. But that's the wrath of God being poured out because all of us are under condemnation. And you hate that it's going that way, but it's nothing we can do about it. But just continue on for us to live. You can't let that get to you or tear you apart because of feelings or emotion. We're dead in Christ and we know that God's will is being done and there's more for us to do and we have to continue to press on in God. We have to press on in God. Verse 11 to 12, when the king came in, king came in and met the guests and he noticed a man who wasn't wearing the proper clothing for a wedding. Friend, he asked, you know, you don't, if you don't know a name, that's a way of asking a person in a, you know, more offhanded, friendly way to address him as friend. You remember he asked Judas, say, when's comest thou, friend? Not that they're actual friend, but it's not making him the adversary. He says, friend, he asks, how is it that you are here without a wedding garment? But the man had no reply. He was speechless. You know why? He didn't realize that Jesus seen him naked. You know, a lot of people don't realize that you didn't see him naked. That's vulnerability is people see you naked. The Bible says, if you buy clothing of me so your nakedness will not appear. That your nakedness will not appear. The case for the hypocrites are who are in the church but are not of it, it is represented by this guest that have that don't have on a wedding garment. That's who the hypocrites are. The ones that are in church but don't have on a wedding garment. See, because Christ provides the garment, but you don't want to put it on. You don't put on, and you have to put on Christ. You have to put on Christ, and you can see Christ. Because when God looks at you, he sees his son if you are in Christ. That's the only way you can come to the throne of grace. That's why a lot of prayers are not answered, because you're not coming in Christ. When he says, ask the Father anything in my name, it's something wrong with you in the name of Jesus Christ. See, because the disciple says, we ask and we know what we have, what we ask of him, we receive that we asked of him. We have that petition we ask of him because we keep and do his commandments. We love his commandments. We love the word of God. We love the things of God. And we know God hears us, that he's our Father, because Jesus said, ask anything in my name and he'll give it to you.
Yes.
But your problem is that you don't have the right connections with God. You have loose connections. You have your own connections. You're not connected by Jesus Christ. You connected yourself, and Jesus will say, I never knew you. He can make those appearances of evil that you think you were connected. So this was a hypocrite, and he has the weed that tears out of the church. The weed and tares have grown together, but now it's a time of separation. And that's the, as the time of great tribulation comes, religion is what's going to separate you. The preachers are what's going to separate you. He says he's going to send his angels, his messengers. And the spirit's what's going to, it's going to draw you or drive you. When the preachers start preaching the word of God, you're going to see a lot of people exiting the true churches. There's going to be a highway of holiness and a full moon era they're in. Now, I'm not saying that they won't be in churches. They'll be in churches, but who knows, all churches not of God. There'll be packed churches. And that's the problem. Me and my son-in-law was talking on the way to Gonzales yesterday, and we were talking about the mega churches, the problem with the mega churches, why a lot of them, the articles and online and all these talking about how they're falling apart at the seams, because these are, some of them in there were good people, and now God's calling them out because they're saying, now look, if we didn't got a political agenda, but now this person ain't right or this is not right, why the church is not addressing these issues? See, God's causing them to see. He opening their eyes, and when God causes you to see when some action's going on, you must look like the Son of God. In other words, people can see that. If the people around you, in your neighborhood, community, on your job or whatever, don't see God in your life, don't see some kind of change in your life, you got on dirty clothes. You got your own garments on. You hadn't put on Christ. When you put on Christ, people are going to know, hey, something's different here. That's what happened to Peter. They noticed the boldness of Peter. When you put on Christ, there's a change in your life. Your wife ain't going to treat you the same. Your children ain't going to treat you the same. Your husband ain't going to. People aren't going to treat you the same. You're not going to be treated the same. And you need to get close to God, because if you're not close to God, you're going to want people to treat you in a certain way or whatever, and it's going to affect you. But like I said, it cannot. You cannot let these things affect you. If these things affecting you, you're still not right in Christ, because a dead man has no feelings. You shouldn't feel these things. If you're dead, you know, something's wrong. Dead man has no feelings. It shouldn't hurt you. Observe these things. Let's observe this. His discovery, how he was found out. That disguise will shortly be stripped off, and this is encouragement of us that's sincere in God. Soon as the king came in, he spotted him, that he wasn't right. And see, that's what I say. That's a problem there with other people. When you seeing people ain't right, you don't tell them that they ain't right. Because you've been telling them all along, you're tired of telling them. The Bible don't tell you to consistently warn them or whatever. You've warned them, and you did all this. Well, you don't want to go to blows with that person or whatever. He that is filthy, let him remain filthy. He that is unrighteous, let him remain unrighteous. I'm not going to keep arguing with you about church and everything. It's nobody in my family that I talk church about. Now, either you is or you ain't. All these years, you either you was or you wasn't. It's too late. Let somebody else tell. That's what he told the five wise and the five foolish. Go buy, go get it from those that buy and sell. He was immediately spotted. We have to go on to perfection. In other words, this person was ordained for destruction from the beginning, even though he was in church. There are a lot of people in church. There are a lot of people are going the wrong way, and they may be there to get you off course. God had put them there to test you later on. Whether your familiarity with them will allow you to get on course, or whether you will be able to deny them. The person closest to you is going to be the most deadliest one. Now, who you love? God or that person? That's an idol if you turn to the side to that person. We have to go on the sanctification. God's word sanctifies us. It washes us. It cleanses us. And it purifies us. So this person, he must have refused the garment. He never put it on. So he wasn't being washed and cleansed by God's word. He wasn't a doer of God's word. And you can see it throughout this nation. If you're spiritual, if God's with you, you can see where this nation is headed. You can see where the people in your family are headed. You can see where people are headed because God is in you, and you're not going to let that car run off the cliff with you in it. You remember we preached that sermon about get out of the car? You're not going over the cliff with them. You will get out of that car.
Yeah.
God's going to teach you how to get out of the car. He's going to keep you and sustain you. Amen. Do all these things. Walking in the power of Christ. You will pull off the old man. In other words, you will keep changing clothes. I want you to do that. And, you know, people will come back and say, well, you remember you did this or this and that. Yeah. But God's not holding that against me. So you can put me and you in that same little boat all you want. But now you got a problem, buddy. I don't have that problem. I might have once had that problem. Praise but I turn it over to God. You should have turned yours over to God. But you thought just because you I didn't say nothing or we seemed similar, you thought that you would lay on you that to bind me. Now you're going down the hole, buddy. That's your problem. It ain't none of my problem. See, because I know what God has for me. Notice now, he was inside that ball, he was inside that wedding feast, but nobody else had seen that he was naked. Nobody seen he had on the wrong garment. Nobody else seen this. Had they seen and not said anything. You know, that's why I say, sometimes people can see you naked and don't tell you. You know, you go around all day and something hanging out your nose and he a friend or somebody came, come up and say, something in your nose, you get it out there. And you done met 40 or 50 people. Why ain't nobody else told me this? You know, your shirt on the wrong side or something, and ain't nobody else told you. And you know, you look at your wife, why you didn't tell me I was like this, honey? You know, sometimes people don't say anything to you about the way you are. But this man, this king spotted it. And that's why I say, sin leaves blemishes, it leaves spots. And the word of God, that's why I say the preachers, the apostles of God, it washes the church, the washing of the word. You remember we was on that series, washing? You're washed in the word, and the word will wash you as pure as snow. It'll cleanse you of all unrighteousness. It you're robed in Christ. It clothes you in the righteousness of the saints. That's what his word does. It has a sanctifying effect. It puts you deeper and deeper in Christ. The more we study, the many more years you're in here, you're stronger in a whole lot of other scriptures. You will even see them the same way. God had showed you them a long different way. And people that used to know you and say those little things to you, it don't even they notice that you're stronger. They know I can't come at them that way no more because they passed that.
Praise.
In the book of Amos, listen at the book of Amos, the fifth chapter. It says, how you hate honest judges. How you despise people who tell the truth. You trample the poor, stealing their grain through taxes and unfair rent. Therefore, though you build beautiful stone houses, you will never live in them. Though you plant lush vineyards, you will never drink wine from them. For I know your transgressions are many and your sins are great, shocking, innumerable. You who distress the righteous and take bribes and turn away the poor in the court of the city gate, depriving them of justice. Therefore, he who is prudent and has insight will keep silent at such a corrupt and evil time. For it is an evil time when people will not listen to the truth and will disregard those of good character. That's the time we're in. Our total system has gone corrupt. If we hadn't noticed in the last years, there's no coming back. It's gone over the brink. The nation has gone over the brink. There was a news story on the other day. There was this guy that was driving drunk down in New Orleans that crashed into 25 or 30 people that was at a parade site, maimed, injured, and all these people. And he had separate counts, 5 years for each count of each person he had did this to, but somehow or another the judge ran those sentences concurrent, gave him time off for time served, and he's only been there a year, so he's going to be released in a matter of a few months and have done all this harm. Destroyed people have punctured kidneys, lungs, they're maimed. Some of them can't work anymore with all kinds of disability. But this is the system failing. I don't know if it's been reported on other stations, other places. What it's not even an issue to some people. But this is our justice system, what has happened to our system. There's a man that was driving drunk for several times, been caught. But he killed a family of seven a few years back. One of the women attended church here. That was the grandmother that attended church here. He killed that whole family and got only a few years. Our system is gone. There's no system in place. It's gone with corruption. It's gone with avarice. It's gone with malice. And the politicians are the resigning and moving about because there's no more respect for the institution. There's nothing there is to cling on to. They're naked. They're naked. And see, what it is here, it's a Laodicean problem. It's a problem with Laodicea. What's a Laodicean problem? Look at Revelation 3:17. This is what Christ says to the Laodicean. Because you say I'm rich and have prospered and grown wealthy and have need of nothing, he says, and you do not know that you're wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked, without hope and in great need. This nation, they're talking about making America great again, how prosperous a nation it is, and how wealthy and rich it is. But could it be that this is a Laodicea nation that God says that you're poor, wretched, and naked, and don't know your spiritual condition? You see, because evidently the man had clothes on. He wasn't physically naked in the ball. Or else the people would have noticed him physically naked. But he wasn't spiritually dressed because the king says, you don't have on a garment. You're not dressed right. So is it that the people in the nation here are not spiritual to see that the nation is spiritually naked, that it's unclothed, that it's suffering from the wrath of God? This is the judgment of God that's falling upon this nation. You see, you can have clothes on and still be naked. But because it's not proper clothing. You know. And the world has distorted clothing. You see people wearing any kind of attire, any kind of way. Used to be you go to a somber occasion, go to a film or something, you see the majority of the men or whatever dressed in black, dressed in dark suits or whatever. But you can go there now, see them in, you know, this is, I don't have that color suit or whatever, but you see men in pink, lavender, green, blue, like all kinds of different colors, look like peacocks or something. Men wearing colors that they never would wear, but they're wearing them in situations or places that they shouldn't. I was at a sister's house the other day doing something or whatever, me and my wife or whatever, and young walks this young lady or whatever, complaining about something her child did or whatever, that took the child's side and ranting and raving about this and that there. And my wife said, you know, honey, she was on the way home, she said, you know, I barely, you know, I don't say anything or whatever, but I had to say something then. And, you know, you never hear my wife talk or say anything. But my wife did say something to that lady at that time or whatever. And I intervened. I said something at the time. But then one interesting thing my wife had said, and I don't know, she shouldn't have had that on. You know, it's some clothes some of us shouldn't wear. You know, it's some things are just too short. Some things are just too tight. Some of our figures are figures that we shouldn't wear. Women and men come to church and go places with clothing that you shouldn't have on, that draws attention to yourself, to your figure, or puts in a person's state of mind lust, and that's called lasciviousness, to dress in a lewd and a lascivious way. Clothing is everything.
Yeah.
That's why I said this series on clothing, and I hadn't talked about physical clothing that much, but this man was physically unclothed, right? But the people didn't notice or hadn't said anything, but the king came in and immediately and told him of this difference. Are we telling people that they're unclothed? After we tell them and do all we can as a responsibility of Amos and his prudence, remember I said sometimes the prudent would keep silent because after you tell a person a certain number of times about something, you don't need to keep telling them about it or whatever, because apparently they're not going to listen. Somebody else should have to tell them or something. You shouldn't cause divisions among yourselves or whatever over that same thing. If they're going to go off a cliff, they're going to have to go off of a cliff. I hate that you went off that cliff, but I told you that was a cliff right there. You went off of it. There's a time for divine justice, and it falls upon us all. There's a time for wrath. There's a time for everything. And if we know and study the Word of God, we have to know the Word of God as people of God. And if we know the Word of God and have it in us, the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him whom we have to do. So you want that individual, you want that purpose, you want that spirit in you to where you can discern. See, Jesus was reading their thoughts. Got to get you to the point where you can read what people are thinking, what their intents, what their motives are. Joseph told his brothers that. You remember Joseph's brothers said, well, we did, you know, he said, no. You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. You know, you've had people do things and it turn out right, and then they try to get credit for doing something. No, you was trying to hurt me with that, though. You was trying to put me in a bind here. See, God's going to show you these things. God's going to talk to you. That's where you want to, where God starts to talk with you.
Yeah.
And leading and guiding you. That's the conclusion. But he puts the clothing on you. He clothes you in his righteousness and have fellowship with him. That's what he's begging to have fellowship, give you his wisdom and knowledge and understanding. In conclusion, we must be in the right frame of heart and a life agreeable with the gospel. This is the gospel message that goes out and calls us all to God, but it calls us all to a close fellowship and communion with the Word of God. The Word of God is present within us. It'll clean us, but it'll clothe us in his righteousness. It'll give us the strength to be a doer of the Word of God. We have to put on Christ as those were on the night that the death angel passed there. Everybody that was covered by the blood. If you had that blood on the doorpost, the death angel didn't come in there. But we must take heed to the Word of God. Take heed to the Word of God. This man didn't take heed to the Word of God. It's a many of people out there that's not taking heed. They hear it, they know what it says, but they're doing it their own way. It's their way. They need to have it their way. So God's working, and I have a niece that the Lord's calling home. She's calling home, and she's fought a good battle. Turned around, wouldn't hurt anybody or whatever, but she didn't have the understanding. Even if I say God doesn't give us all an understanding or where to or whatever. But as I was talking with my wife and thing or whatever, I'll leave here today, we'll go see her at the hospice center or whatever, that sometimes God calls us aside to rest. He calls his servants aside to rest. And I do believe that she'll be one of these that says, that he says, if you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. You know, because with her heart and her purity and the way she stands, I've always respected that of her, that she had that childlike demeanor. Wouldn't harm or anything like that, the thoughts and the frame of mind. So there are plenty that are out there that may not be in the church and that enter into the kingdom of God and enjoy the pleasures of God, and God bring them on in there, because what happened was that God had his grace in their lives. Is God gracing? Is he robing and clothing you? If God robing and clothing you, no man can say that you're not worthy of the kingdom. He invites us and he calls. He chose the ones he wanted to choose. We're a chosen people by God's grace. That's how we gain our righteousness, to go into the marriage supper clothed in his righteousness. Not our own righteousness, not righteousness man had given us.